Mike Emerson. He's back only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Hold on. Something's not right here. There's somebody new. There's somebody I don't recognize here. There's somebody who's... There's some large mass, some large presence in the other room. It's...
Large mass?
Sarah, are we having any guests today? Is there supposed to be somebody here?
There's somebody different sitting
here. Because I don't recognize whoever this is. Must be somebody long lost to our people.
Yeah. Ben, I've been gone a week. What do you want?
Oh, that's right. Patterson.
Close enough.
Mike or something.
Mark?
I don't even remember what show. Is it Larson's show or something? What is this?
Oh, come on now. That's the cold action. No need to do that. No need to go to the mattresses already.
I come back. I bring you Krispy Kremes for a peace offering.
They're cold. I'm like, dude, they're from Florida.
Hello.
Clyde's biggest, that's one, there's 6 free Krispy Kreme donuts widely considered by most people to be the finest donuts known to man. Clyde's singular comment, the cold. You know, it's like, well, I'm sorry, man.
I did what I could. They were warm when I got them at like 5 a.m. on Friday morning. So.
All right. It is 3 minutes and 54 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of January in the year of our Lord, 2003, along with Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom, the lovely Sarah Dillon, and returning executive producer Matthew Peterson. We are we're back. It's Monday. It's January 13th. January 13th, and I can hear now out of one ear entirely. My left ear is still at only like 85%. My right ear, though, has... And can I just tell you this? Let me just talk to you about Satyricon for a moment and just the relative acoustic merits of concrete. Do you want to talk about just an echo that rattles around inside your brain until your whole ear... I mean, your cilia are just dissolved to so much mush inside your ear canal. I was wearing earplugs. And people always laugh at me. I always get this, you know, people look at me like I'm a big pussy because I wear earplugs. I can tell you, I was wearing earplugs probably 80% of the night and always, you know, always at least on the ear facing them, you know, the speakers, the monitors. But I woke up Sunday morning and it just felt like my head was wrapped in swaddling clothes is what it felt like. On Sunday when I finally woke up at like noon, I felt like something the dog had vomited up. It was a bad Sunday afternoon coming down for me. The alarm goes up and you're just, oh God, no, you know. I don't know why I'd even said it. But it's like I could barely hear, but what I could hear was just way too loud. And if you ever do that thing too, and it's often after you've spent a night on the town where things are simultaneously too quiet and too loud, especially if you've been subjected to loud music. So I'm on the couch trying to watch the television, and, you know, on the TV, I usually have the volume about 18. That's my typical volume watching level. I have it at like 13 because it's like, and the actual television is too quiet to hear, but the hiss from the TV is so loud that it's hurting my teeth. Oh, God. All right. Anyway, we'll talk more about it later. We'll give you a full wrap-up. A full Monday morning about everything that happened at Satyricon this weekend. And we didn't have a name for it. I think we're going to do it again at some point, though. And so we'll have to have a name for it next time, so we'll do that. Coming up later on this hour, John Bisnick from CNN Radio is going to talk to us about Joe Lieberman, who is going to have the snot kicked out of him in the next election, apparently. Jim Roop's going to talk to us about the People's Choice Awards, where they gave some crap to some people. AMA's coming up as well. And we have some Christina Aguilera stuff coming up as well. Later on, top 5 grossing live acts of 2002. Jolie from the front desk, Richard Nunn, something else that's escaping me right now. Coming to me, had it, lost it, gone again. All right, well, here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news is brought to you by NASE, NASE. Need professional or business health benefits? Then call 1-800-290-4128. The National Association of the Self-Employed has affordable benefits for the self-employed. Call them at 1-800-290-4128. That's 1-800-290-4128. Top story. A former orphan raised in a Missouri boys home by nuns Ted Kulongoski was sworn in as Oregon's new governor just moments ago.
Theodore R. Kulongoski.
I, Theodore R. Kulongoski,
do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And the Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of.
That I will faithfully discharge the duties of
Governor of the State of Oregon.
Governor of the State of Oregon.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Do we get to hear the entire thing? Please tell me we get to hear the entire ceremony front to back.
That was it.
Okay.
We'll have more of it later on because the public demands it.
I should have pithy comments about that, but I don't because I don't care.
Outgoing Governor John Kitzhaber still thinks Oregon's a cool place to be.
To me, Oregon is still the last best place in the North American continent. It is a place of opportunity. It's a place of promise. It's a place of hope. It's a place where individuals acting from courage and conviction can still shape the world in which they live. Into your hands, we have placed the stewardship of this special place.
The last best place. Is that a left-handed compliment, or is he just quoting F. Scott Fitzgerald? I can't tell.
I don't know.
All right.
Oregon's the last great place to get lost. Two parties of climbers got trapped overnight in a whiteout in wind-whipped Mount Hood. They came down safely. This is the first group of people who got lost there in a long time. The climbers asked if they had a good time.
Living in a snow cave for a night is not a fun situation.
The rescuers brave savage, untamed weather conditions.
There were times up on the rescue where we couldn't see our feet. It was like having a white sheet placed over your head. You just couldn't see a thing.
Hold on. Is Richard Nunn just wandering around over there randomly?
Yeah, he is.
Why?
He thought we might have alcohol over here.
Are you just coming in to see penises today? Is that just you just hope that any time you arrive, you'll get to see male penises? It's welcome to the... Hold on, let me get to it. Do we have his theme song here? Well, welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Our friend and colleague meteorologist Richard Dunn from the WB.
The conversation on Friday went like this. Can you come in because the penis puppet guys are here today? I said, yeah. No. They said, well, can you come on Monday? And I said, who are we talking about here? And she said, you. And I said, yes, I could be there.
It was a last-minute decision.
It was. Right.
So you're just here to hang out.
I'm here to help Tim with news.
So here, have an orange.
All right.
Did you get a haircut? Can I tell you how
Tim,
much you
Tim, that's
look?
A special orange.
You can't give that to him. That's from Florida.
That's a Florida orange.
I have to take that back. I just thought somebody left a random orange here. But
I brought you a Florida
it's
orange.
It's a gift orange.
Oh, thank you.
Is that a Valencia?
No, it's a Floridian orange.
Well, that's a type of Floridian orange Valencia.
Oh, is it? Is this a Valencia orange?
I have no idea. It's a Florida orange. That's as into it as I got.
Oh, thank you for this orange.
It was big and round and nice.
It still is.
Yeah, it was a good orange.
Now, I don't get with all this new fruit. Hey, let's talk about strange citrus fruits for a second.
Sure.
Have you noticed this thing, and it's especially prevalent here in the... Now, this isn't the Inland Empire. This is just the Pacific Northwest, right? Only Spokane or whatever is the Inland Empire. Anyway, but this thing of crossbreeding fruit and creating bizarre things like, and especially at places like Nature's and Wild Oats, all those stores, you know, where it's like, what's this? Well, it's a pluot. Well, what's a pluot?
What is a pluot?
Well, it's like a half plum, half... cockroach or something. I don't know. But they do this thing in Portland, but they got all of these bizarre... They had some huge citrus festival. I'm not making this up. At Nature's over the weekend. That I was obliged to attend. And it was like, what's this? Well, it's a half grapefruit, half lemon. Like, why would you want that? Why would you want something that's half lemon, half grapefruit? No one knows. Yet it exists.
Could it be more sour at that point?
No, and just, you know.
When I lived in Florida, my aunt and uncle were the president and vice president of the Rare Fruit and Tropical Tree Society.
That's going to be an exciting life.
Yeah, they're totally. When I was 12, I got a tree. It's called a black sapote, which is actually, the layman is chocolate pudding tree. Wow. And this thing would grow these huge nuts that you'd crack open, and you could eat this pudding out of it. I swear to you.
You're not making this up, are you?
I swear to you. No,
that's like some Roald Dahl thing going on there.
It was awesome, but all kind of crazy stuff.
Was that like right next to the Oompa Loompa village?
Yes. You can pull up Snozberries.
Snozberries. Good cultural reference there. All right.
Well, you just better hit the shower before you board the bus in Bend. Proposed new city rules would ban spitting, smoking, skateboarding, and stinking on city buses. The regulation
Good
bans
luck.
Anyone who has a grossly repulsive odor. It is an effort to keep the riding experience as pleasant and safe as possible, says the city attorney. He noted the city already has an ordinance prohibiting people from releasing highly objectionable odors from their property.
What does that mean? Does that mean?
I don't know.
Does that mean flatulence? Is that what that's about?
Perhaps so.
Or what else could they be talking about there?
I don't know. You have to.
Well, non-shower, just general BO, maybe.
Oh, yeah. When they said releasing, I thought you meant like, you know, get ready. I'm getting ready to release, but like releasing it like a squid might release ink or something. I thought you were talking about the breaking wind there. But in case you ever need to know what kind of place Bend is, that's the kind of place Bend is, where they can outlaw certain types of body odor on buses, which they could never do here because they'd lose like 80% of their ridership. There'd be nobody left to ride the bus. There'd just be me. And I don't smell all that great most of the time. So it'd just be that, it'd be like three people on the bus. That'd be it. Be like that one old Asian guy always in front of you doing crossword puzzles. That'd be the only guy left on the bus.
Top of the Snuff Watch.
Here's your Snuff Watch for Monday.
Maurice, or some people say Morris Gibb, died over the weekend just 3 days after intestinal blockage surgery and cardiac arrest.
And just 3 days after we ridiculed that intestinal blockage and said that it was nothing to be worried about.
No, they took out like 80% of his intestines.
I feel like such a dick.
80% of his intestines.
No, because this is Thursday's show. Blah, 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 intestinal blockage. Me. Be a man. That's nothing to worry about. Get out of bed. You're a pussy.
And then by that time, he already had a heart attack.
I know. By that time, he was already in intensive care, and like an hour later, he was dead. I feel like a cretin.
So here's a good announcement in case you missed it.
To our extended family, friends, and fans, with great sadness and sorrow, we regretfully announce
that Rick Emerson killed Maurice Gibb
this morning. His love, enthusiasm, and energy for life remain in
on the free dude, yesterday, they were already airing the Andy Gibb Behind the Music yesterday.
Yes.
It was already on yesterday, and I don't know if that was just happenstance or if that was Smacklepants.
Maurice was a recovered alcoholic with a tortured soul, but former keyboardist Blue Weaver remembers his good side.
Maurice was a warm, gentle, generous joker. I think he always had something. He could always make humor out of any situation, and he could make people feel at their ease immediately.
And I think there's speculation that he also always had cocaine on him too, because it's that's where the heart thing. They said that the heart thing was probably exacerbated by at least past cocaine use, if not present cocaine use.
In a 1997 interview, Maurice Gibb, one of the group, remembered as being more than a disco band.
Once again, we're R&B love. We love black music. We've always loved it for years. And even the Fever stuff was R&B before it got used in the film.
Were the label disco.
Then it got labeled disco. So I guess it doesn't tell you much difference, does it?
It's true. You know, the Bee Gees never got the respect they deserved. And now everybody will now respect him and claim to be a huge Bee Gees fan because he's dead. But the Bee Gees never, ever got... Well, there was a brief window where they got the respect they deserved when they were popular. But then there was just this anti-Bee Gees backlash, which was pretty much without merit. I mean, it's one thing to hate, you know...
How many are left now? How many Bee Gees?
Two. Well, there's Barry and Shemp, or whatever his name is. Barry, and who's the other guy? There's Barry, and who's the guy with the weird buck teeth?
Oh, so the ugly one's still alive.
The ugly one. The ugly one's always, just like Ringo, the ugly one always lives longest.
Right. The non-beard-growing BG.
Well, no, because Barry has a beard.
Right.
But Barry's got the beard and the Jesus hair, too. Well, Barry's got
does that mean Paul's going to die before Ringo?
Yeah. Yoko will outlive them all, though.
Yeah.
Yoko's going to outlive every one of the Beatles. You know that it's true, just because the universe just works that way. No, so Barry Gibb is alive and Ugly Gibb. Right. They're still alive. All right.
Best known for Saturday Night Fever soundtrack that sold 40 million copies and became a staple of every teenager's record collection in 1977.
Seriously, one of the best pop songs of the 20th century.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and it's not even a disco song. This is a disco song. Not bad, though.
And one for the K103 people.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies.
That's a good makeout song.
Oh, and More Than a Woman. Just, you know, did you ever, just that, More Than a Woman, and you just did like in eighth grade, just totally doing, you know, 6 inches of daylight, you know, and you're trying to like cop the smallest of feels while More Than a Woman is playing. But Staying Alive is one of the all-time 20th century pop songs, man. Not even really a disco song. And it's just got, and lyrics, I still don't even know what the hell he's talking about, because I always thought that it was, you can try to understand the New York Times don't make a man. I always thought that's what it was. And I always thought it was that, like, it's all about, having a street cred and having it in your soul and not about what the man thinks of you. I always thought that's what it was, because you can try to understand the New York Times. But I guess it's the New York Times effect on man, but I like my version better.
Right, they have a hard time understanding, like, Simon, more than a woman. My dad always thought, what's this four-letter woman about? Anyway, the Bee Gees sold a total of 110 million records so far. They won 7 Grammys in the spot. In the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the youngest Gibb brother, Andy, had a short, successful solo career in the 80s before dying of a heart ailment, worsened by too many drugs and days and too much booze and broads at the age of 30. Maurice Gibb was only 52. That's today's
story. Right, there's your snuff watch from Monday in the Rick Emerson Show. Why is there never the death of anybody we hate? Why is it always just people we like? Seriously, when's the last time a musician we hated died? It's been a long time, man. Joey and Dee Dee and Joe Strummer and the Gibb guy, Maurice Gibb. When is the last time somebody we hated died?
How long ago was Garcia's death?
Oh, that was 95 or 96. That was in Salt Lake.
Wow, that's going well.
The last good musical death I've had has been Jerry Garcia, man. I don't know that that's likely to be topped. I can't remember. The last snuff watch where I was glad somebody died was that William Pierce bastard, that Nazi guy from Idaho or whatever. The guy that founded the Aryan Nation. Anyway, he died, but he wasn't even a musician, or, you know, not a particularly good one, probably, but anyway.
I mean, we need a death machine.
That's exactly what we need. Then we need some killings.
Australian authorities have seized a prototype suicide machine from a doctor who's heading to a death machine conference in San Diego. Dr. Philip Netschke had planned to unveil his machine at the meeting of the National Hemlock Society this past weekend. The device allows people to commit suicide by inhaling carbon monoxide through a face mask. He said that customs agents in his native Australia seized the device as he prepared to board his flight.
What a suicide machine. It's called a gun. It's what? How hard can it be to get one?
It's called a car in a garage.
It's called a gun. Yeah, it's called a knife. Here you go.
Well, no sharp edges and no death machines on any place in the world.
All right. I don't understand the need for a death machine.
He's going to have to build a new one, I guess.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about lying people, shall we? George Clooney, what does he do? He directs his first film in an adaptation of the Celt memoir of the game show host Chuck Barris, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. George explains his concerns about directing this film.
I wanted to do a good job for Sam because I believed that he could do it sort of more than he believed
Who's
he could
Sam?
Do it. And
no one
I
knows.
I didn't want to let him down.
Some guy.
I didn't want to let the film down. I didn't want to let the film down for Chuck because it was important.
Chuck Barris.
There's a lot of
pressure. What a weird statement than anybody. This one's for Chuck Barris.
A lot of actors.
How strange
good.
That phrase would ever leave anybody's mouth.
In loving memory of Chuck Barris. Oh, he's still alive.
No, he's alive.
In the vicinity.
He's alive. He looks really bad, though.
He always looks bad.
He's serious. He looks like a shrunken head of himself.
He always looked like Sammy Short.
Yeah, no, it's creepy.
George, talk about the difference between acting and directing.
When you're in someone else's film, they don't really...
I just hope me and Gene the Dance Machine makes a cameo appearance in the movie.
What you tried to do in the film.
Did you watch The Gong Show?
When you directed,
sporadically.
What they're basically talking about...
I was too young to understand kitsch or camp.
So it's always a
and so to me it was just crap.
Because
most of the time I was like, these acts are all bad. And I was too young to understand that was sort of the whole zeitgeist of that thing.
I don't know how this is going to go.
And no one really cares that much.
I'm really happy that people were laughing.
They might have, but you guys not been rude and talked over it so nobody could hear it.
Oh, please.
It was important anyway.
Who's more popular, George Clooney or me? What are you talking about? So George Clooney is... here's the thing about George Clooney, though, is that, I mean, can we all give props to George Clooney for not just going the stupid, cheesy, hunky, heartthrob role, which he could have totally gone that way in Hollywood. But he's made now... What, 3 films in a row that are off the beaten path? I mean, if you count Ocean's 11. Because Ocean's 11, I mean, who would ever dare to remake Frank Sinatra? I mean, and to do it pretty well, from what I never saw, but I heard it was pretty successful. So he did that, then he did Solaris, and then he did Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, which is a warped project to begin with. I mean, the book, I guess, is exceptional. The movie, Kim was a huge fan of the movie, but I mean, it's certainly not the kind of thing you would associate somebody in Hollywood with, especially somebody like George Clooney. So... I think we can all say that George Clooney right now is the coolest actor going. You know, maybe not the best actor, maybe not the most talented, I don't know, but he's probably the coolest actor going. I mean, who's cooler than George Clooney?
Nick Cage.
No. Who said that? Who said that?
That was none.
You said that. What do you mean, Nick Cage?
I was just throwing that out there.
Was it when he made Con Air? Was that what sold you on the hipness of Nick Cage?
Pleasantville, not Pleasantville. Were they with the three...
Family Man?
No, where they robbed the Nice Town, the bank, over a Christmas movie.
I don't remember that.
What the hell are you talking about?
No, it had Dana Carvey in it, so you know it was good.
Oh, yeah, that's the mark of quality.
And Lovitz, John Lovitz... There you go. John Lovitz, Nick Cage, and Dana Carvey, they were bungling.
Are you high? What in the name of God are you talking about?
It's a crappy...
Is this a movie in your head? Is this a movie that plays in Richardsville?
Yeah, it plays in Freakville, USA.
Okay. We got more on the way, including John Bisney from CNN Radio. Jim Roop going to be with us later on. Top 5 grossing musical acts of 2002. Later on, I guess you'll be here. You're here now.
I'm here.
Let's forget I spoke.
Tony Danza,
in lieu of Richard Nunn. The part of Richard Nunn will be played by Tony Danza. We'll also give you a recap of everything that went down at Satyricon this Saturday, where Richard Nunn failed to appear. So we got more on the way. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show at Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. Don't go anywhere. Back right after this, boy.
What a criminal. Once again, back is the incredible rhyme animal, the untenable beast. Public enemy number one, 5, 4, 3. And I got gum. Then I told never really never had a gun. But it's the way that determined it ain't fun. Now they got me in a cell, put my record they sell. Cause the fella like me said, well, found have a problem, and I think you're all of us for when it comes to you. What you ought to do is follow. For now, tell what the people say. Make a miracle, keep up the miracle. Black is back, all in, we're gonna win. Check it out.
Yeah, y'all, come on.
Here we go again.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, whatever you say. It's got John Lovitz, too, and Avery Schreiber. All right, here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
An opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Hey, let me just say this, by the way, that I was at the... I was at the mall the other day. I was and I saw the sign that said McRib is back. And of course, what do? McRib is back. And I said it like that aloud to no one, for no reason.
McRib is back.
There you go. And I should say I was helpless. I couldn't stop it. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland. In just a moment here, we'll figure out. Oh, I think somebody figured out the name of the movie Richard's talking about. So We'll do that here in just a second. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent, all-around good guy, John Bisney. How are you doing, John?
I love those McRibs.
Do you? You don't.
I do.
Okay. Hey, are they advertising that on our show?
No, we don't have it going.
There's no McRibs.
No, not as far as I know.
Okay,
no.
Let me tell you.
Sponsor the news.
Let me tell you, that is deep-fried tree bark. What are you doing, John? you live behind...
It's the sauce.
Wait, it's the sauce. I got your sauce. See, John, you don't. You work for CNN. You got a high-stress job, you know. No Steve Case there to guide the company through troubled times. Now you got to take it easy on your body. Treat it like a temple. McRib is not the way.
Yeah, maybe you're right. All right.
I mean, all right. I seriously think that the guys at McDonald's sit around a conference table, and they open the dictionary to random nouns, and then they say, hey, if we deep-fry that, I wonder if people will eat it. You know, just formica... Tire rubber. It doesn't matter what
harsh.
It is. Seriously, what is this? Well, it's a, you know, it's a possum. You know, we'll call it McRib.
No, McRib.
In a bun.
Don't tell me that.
All right, well, I'm just saying. Hey, speaking of high stress, so I don't want to be a negative Nelly, but can we all agree that Joe Lieberman is just going to get whomped like a swamp rat in 2004?
Right now, he's got pretty good standings in the polls, but that's because of name recognition. Yeah, I mean, he ran for VP, as we all know, 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago now, and a lot of Democrats, given the choices, say right now he's their number one guy.
But see, that's the key phrase there, is given the choices. You have to grade on a curve, I think, with the Democrats are just so hapless. It saddens me. It really does. But it's like the Democrats couldn't find their couch in a living room these days. And I get the feeling, and it's nothing personal against Joe Lieberman, but I'm sure he's a nice guy, and I'm sure that he's not discernibly more incompetent than most of the rest of the Democratic Party, but it just seems like he's the best of a bad lot right now. And I don't mean that in a malicious sense. It just seems like... You know, the Gore's not going, and they're just looking around for somebody, and it seems like the general feeling is, well, Joe, I guess it's you.
I think that's pretty true. The indicative of that is if you add, for example, hypothetically, Hillary Clinton into the mix, she ends up dominating everybody.
Well, somebody, yeah, that she ranked higher than everybody else. She got, like, I forget what the percentage was, but she beat, when her name was thrown into the mix and they said, would you vote for us, thus and so, that Hillary beat everybody. And that's,
she's tougher than Lieberman.
I mean, but it's just insane. I don't understand what kind of world we're living in. And again, it has nothing to do with my like or dislike for Hillary. If you would have told me, though, a few years ago that Hillary Clinton would be coming up number one in, you know, when they asked Democrats, who would you vote for, I would have thought you were on the pipe, man. We're living in surreal times. Is there any sense of what she is going to do?
I think she's not going to run in 04, just doesn't have the political acumen under her yet here. I think she'll spend a little more time in the Senate, probably positioning herself for 2008. And, you know, a great scenario, obviously, for any Democrat, from one point of view, would be Bush gets reelected, because then that clears the way in 2008.
Can I just tell you this right now? I would vote for Hillary Clinton in a heartbeat just to annoy my in-laws. It doesn't even matter. I don't care what she's going to do, not going to do. My in-laws are these really straight-laced conservative Mormons, horrified by Democrats, horrified by the notion of a female president. I would vote for her in a heartbeat just to antagonize the rest of my my family.
Well, now, speaking of antagonistic, let me tell you a little bit more about Lieberman's problem here, I think. He is, no doubt, the most conservative of these Democratic candidates.
Absolutely.
That may not be saying a lot, but that's going to give him some trouble, I think, during the primary season. You know, the old adage, you run to the left in the primaries, and you run to the center after you've become the nominee, and that's something that Lieberman's going to have to wrestle with.
Well, he who owns the center, you know, it's what Bill Clinton called triangulation. He who owns the center yet is above the center is master of American politics. And, the thing with Lieberman is, it's just, I think, from the left, I think the Democrats are just looking at him and say, well, if we're going to vote for you, we might as well vote for a Republican, because at least Lieberman is on the inside what so many Republicans are on the outside. And I think a lot of the left, you know, think that it's fundamentally dishonest to call yourself a Democrat and then just to be so rightist about everything. It's just
and if that split continues, it's going to be a real headache, I think, for the Democrats, because they will not be able to come together behind one candidate, as you described, Bill Clinton, who was able to do that, to portray himself as sort of in the middle, and they're going to have a real war in their party if that happens and they end up split in 2004. Wow.
Strange times. It is not a world of men, John. We are not living in a world of men anymore. It's just it's a world of clock watchers and pencil pushers. You and I, John.
And McRib.
Should be. And McRib is back. CNN Radio's John Pisney. Thank you.
McRib is back.
Excellent. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Yeah. There you go. It's 503-250 Tonetti in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. We'll get Matt in a moment. Jeff in Portland, what's up with you?
Hey, Rick. The movie was Trapped in Paradise, abysmal as it was.
Yeah, great movie, wasn't it?
So Richard Nunn, so that's the movie you're talking about with John Lovitz?
Right,
is it awful?
Right.
So it's an hour and 45 minutes of solid entertainment.
Oh, yeah. Even Nicolas Cage has been petitioning to get it taken from his bio.
I've never even heard of this movie.
Oh, it was horrid. Absolutely horrid.
It's like one of those movies that just doesn't even go straight to video, just goes straight to Cinemax at like 2 a.m. Like that.
Right.
Here's that movie.
USA.
Seriously.
I think I saw it on like a Showtime free preview.
Oh,
weekend.
God. Did you ever see that movie Big Bully with Tom Arnold and Rick Moranis?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it went straight to the movie channel at like 4 in the morning on a Sunday. There you go. There's Jeff in Portland. Trapped in Paradise. Jesus, God.
And Dana Carvey plays this almost Mickey Rourke-type retard character.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That just sounds like brilliance. Yeah, it's the Glass Menagerie. George in Wilsonville, what's up?
Hi, Rick. I agree with you. Lieberman has all the charisma of soggy toast.
Yeah, he's going to get killed.
I don't know. Why don't they give up now?
Yeah.
And I was going to ask Matt about gold futures. But what I really want to know is how many hours until his next hard-earned vacation.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been here for almost an hour. Isn't it time for you to leave again?
He's already talking about vacation again.
You are kidding me.
He's like, I'm gonna work up for my next couple-week vacation.
Well, he's doing it for the rest of us.
I'm not talking about vacation. I have no plans to take any time off in the near future.
Sarah?
He totally was, and now he's trying.
I made a smart-ass comment about, well, I still have a bunch of vacation from last year that I didn't use. But I had to use up another week, but it was an like smart ass comment. I really have no plans on taking any time off.
Please define near future.
At least the next few months.
Yeah. Okay. So he's doing it now.
He's doing it for the rest of us, so we can live vicariously through him.
Thanks.
Yeah, the show was stronger while he was gone.
Yeah, I feel so too.
Not to put Matt down there. I mean, you do a great job. Just last week I was thinking, damn, Rick's really coming along.
Damn, something's really happened to make Rick's show better. What could that be?
Oh, stop it.
And then do you feel like today there's kind of a sagging, kind of a general letdown?
Something holding us back.
There's an ennui that set in today. I can't place it.
The sand is.
Well, maybe that vacation's coming earlier than I thought it was. Forced vacation this time, not voluntary.
Here's Tim Riley in the K2K newsroom.
But look at the size of this orange. You don't see anything that big.
You know,
I'll
tell you something. Take this orange to a grocery store. Have them mark it so that you know that it's yours.
Yeah.
And weigh this against any orange that is this size. I guarantee this is going to be heavier because Florida, they put the right amount of water on it and they leave it on the tree long enough that it absorbs all the sugar. So they're sweeter, they're juicier.
Well, also, it's Florida. I mean, that helps.
No, I'm talking about the stuff that comes out of Mexico, even the stuff that comes out of California.
Oh, okay.
The Florida orange is just superior.
All right.
Okay.
So Richard, down to the Florida tourist course.
Now, Richard, when is it that you told me you're going to Florida?
I'm a fruit aficionado.
Noted botanist Richard Nunn from the WB.
So we're talking about politics here. Bill Frist, the guy who got Trent Lott's old job as Senate Majority Leader, he tells Fox News Sunday the Republican Party is more in sync with African Americans than the Democrats.
What I'm hopeful for and will fight hard for is that dialogue on race, race relations, race renewal, race reconciliation can be carried out in a more visible, a more open way, a less politically charged way.
And he doesn't like cloning either.
In terms of cloning itself, cloning and stem cells, two entirely different issues, but we should not be cloning individuals.
Okay, now, they're trying to put this guy across as some country doctor, but his family owns this big chain of hospitals all over the United States.
Well, that's what it is, because, of course, this is the whole charade that the Republican Party is continually engaging, which is the, I'm just a simple man. That's that whole Bob Dole. Remember Citizen Dole?
Yeah.
Remember that? No, I'm no longer, the famous Bob Dole phrase of, I'm just a citizen, a Kansan, an American.
And a pitch man.
Yeah, seriously, when he said that, when I was in Salt Lake, we ran with that for days, I'm a four-door sedan. I'm a canned ham. Just that whole, he was doing that stupid rhyme of a Kansan citizen. I'm a little ditty about Jack and Diane. And we were just, man, that was the funniest thing we'd ever, because it's so obviously retarded and a lie. But that's their whole thing. And no, I'm just a country doctor. Like, what's his name? Cooter. Remember when Ben Jones ran for the Senate?
Oh, yeah.
Him and Gopher Bolt. No, I'm just Cooter. I'm just Cooter from the hood, or whatever he was. So that's their whole thing. It's just pretending that they're all dirt poor and stupid.
So, Daschle says the Republican renomination of Judge Charles Pickering to the Federal Appeals Court is a bad move.
He looked through his history, not only as a judge, but as a state legislator and in many other capacities. And there is no question. His insensitivity to civil rights, to equal rights, especially to minorities, is something that is well documented.
Yeah. All right. 503-250-1080. Full-time listener in the coup. It's David. What's up?
Oh, Senator Lieberman. Doesn't he remind you of Senator Palpatine in Star Wars?
And he really does, actually. That's kind of creepy now that you say it. And he sounds a lot like Peter Carlin. Somebody pointed that out, that he sounds just like Peter Carlin whenever you hear that, what do you think of video games? Well, I think video games are too. And then you hear Peter Carlin on the phone, and they sound exactly the same way. But you're right. He looks exactly like Palpatine. That's going to freak me out now. Dude, you're wrong. Why would you put that thought in my head? So we're going to do this. We got more on that. Sherry wants to yell at me about Glengarry Glen Ross. What is that? What have I ever done to deserve this?
She popped it up, and it doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's because clearly she's a fool. Well, okay, we'll find out. So Sherry in a moment. Tim from Portland here in a moment, as well as Tim Riley in the K2K newsroom. Richard Nunn for the WB. Back with more, including Matt Peterson, Sarah Dillon, your call. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 K2K. We'll be back after this. You're the light in my leg. Can't shed my mind. You're the hope and my high. I'm a winner in my poem. You're the root. You're the light in my leg. Can't shed my mind. You're the hope and my high. I'm a winner in my poem.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Can we all agree that Nate Dogg has the greatest voice in hip-hop?
Oh,
best voice in hip-hop. Not vocal stylings or skill or flow. Voice.
either him or DMX.
Oh, DMX has got a great voice.
DMX.
Yeah. DMX has got so much voice, there was enough left over for Ja Rule to borrow.
And Jada.
Can I borrow some of your voice? Thank you.
All right. Here's Sarah Dillon with traffic.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Although by doing the Satyricon thing, and I'm not making this up, this weekend we missed, this is according to Mercury, at Hillsboro Skate World, we missed Goth Skate Night.
It was a throwback with 70s, 80s, and all goth.
Goth skates.
Uh-huh.
Goth Skate Night. Music provided by the incomparable DJs Retrograde and Retrovirus, including goth 80s, and fun skate songs. Goth Skate. Come on. It's the best thing ever. All right, we're with Tim Riley in the KJK Newsroom. Also, Richard Nunn from the WB. Let's get Tim in Portland. It's the first time
coming. Yes.
What's up?
Hey, Rick.
Yes.
How you doing?
What do you got?
Hey, man, you said you'd vote for Hillary in 2008, right?
Yeah, just to annoy my in-laws.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was going to ask you if you were wearing a skirt to work today. I mean...
A what?
Why would you vote for her just to annoy your in-laws?
Because I'm under no illusion that my choice of president makes any difference to the country or how things run. I'm completely zen with the fact that I'm going to continue to get screwed. I'm going to continue to get bent over economically no matter what we do, and so I might as well have some fun irritating my family while I'm at it. It's like, if I'm going to get screwed anyway, I'm taking somebody down with me, and that's, I'm taking my in-laws down. Because they, seriously, it would be like having, it's like I would vote, you know, if like a black guy ran for president, I don't care who it could be. Willie Horton could run for president. I'd vote for him.
Just Al Sharpton's running.
Well, see, I'd vote for Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton is one of the Democratic, he's on the Democratic ticket.
If my in-laws in Salt Lake, if they had to wake up and see that, like, headline, first black president, it's like they would move, man. They would, or kill themselves. And it's like, just the pain it would cause all of the right wing, the pain it would cause all the bigots just to have a black or a female or a Jewish president. I mean, I'd vote for Lieberman. Just because I like the idea of a bunch of dumb rednecks in Idaho waking up at first Jewish president, just being like, crap! You know, just, that would be the best thing ever.
Bush, I mean, he's trigger happy. I mean, everything that's going on with him, you know? It's all good, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good. Okay.
awkward.
Wait, let's go, Rick!
speaking of, you know, Tony from the House of Rick moved.
I heard that. He's in Wisconsin.
We got to do a recap of everything that happened while you were gone. There's all the stuff that happened while you were gone.
Besides Sarah taking my job?
Yeah, besides the show running so much more smoothly, according to Richard. Do we have anything small here?
Yes, the people love Tony Danza, which is why he hosted the People's Choice Awards last night. Before the show, he promised to give something back to the fans, himself.
I think I'm going to open the show with my alter ego, Italian Ice. Yeah, I'm serious. He's a rapping tap dancer.
Oh, Jesus
God. He sounds
like
a mobster now, doesn't he?
Did he rap? There's no such thing as the mob.
I will ask Roop.
Oh,
note to self, ask Roop.
I will kick myself if I miss that.
Seriously, how is it that Tony Danza makes more money than all of us? And Carrot Top.
Combined.
Seriously, what kind of world in a world where Tony Danza makes more money than all of us?
They probably have Carson Daly's agent. That's the only thing I can think of.
That is it.
Before we talk to Sherry here, and before she beats me up about Glenn Greg Lenoir, so I saw Portland Wrestling on Sunday.
Oh, how was it?
Got it on the TiVo on Saturday, watched it Sunday. Man, that's fine. There was the Masked Marauder or something.
It's worth taping?
The Grappler. No, it was the Grappler.
Yeah.
And the Grappler, you're going down! And it was just the whole thing, and then it was, man, that's the real thing, too, and there's no glitz there. It's no, not a bunch of pretty boys.
No, when they bring it in, man, it's all hardcore stuff.
The crowd was into it, too. It looked like it was packed.
Yeah, I think they're up to about 150 now is what they're able to get in.
Yeah, it wasn't an empty seat there. So you said the waiting list is like, what is it, 2 months long or something?
Yeah, it was about 1,000 people.
Yeah, clearly Matt can probably get in, though, right?
I can get you guys in. Yeah, I've got some weight around there. I know somebody.
Okay.
I'll sneak in.
I know the people who know the people.
Yeah, all right, whatever. All right, Richard and Don from the WB. Let's, Sherry in Oregon City, what's up?
I went out, I bought Glengarry Glen Ross, and I don't get it. I wasn't going to beat you up ever, because I think you're great. However, I don't appreciate being called a fool.
Wait, you don't get it. What do you mean you don't get it?
Well, the first night I went to watch it, I fell asleep because it was dull, and the second night I stayed away from the whole thing, and it was really depressing.
Well, okay, well, depressing, I'll grant you depressing. But how
dull? That's just like daggers to the heart.
What are you talking about, dull?
It was.
What is it with chicks and Glengarry Glen Ross, man? Is that just, is it like,
Is there some, are we living in some parallel world that we like it or something? Because
I didn't get it. I have yet to meet
a woman that really appreciates
it. The only woman who likes it is Kim Morgan. I mean, she's the only woman. I mean, Laura will watch it if I make her, but it's like too depressing for her. She doesn't like it because it's too much of a down. Kim's the only woman I know who actively likes it. So I'm not calling you a fool. I'm just saying it just seems like I don't understand how anybody could watch it and not like it. It seems incomprehensible.
Sure. I'm pretty easy to please with movies. I'm not really picky. And I was really excited to watch it because I thought, hey, Rick likes it. It's going to be great for Rick.
So I feel like I've let you down. I feel like I've led you astray.
Yes,
probably not the first time you felt that way with a woman.
Shut up. Did you buy it on DVD?
Yes.
I'll buy it from you.
Oh, wow.
Okay, hold on. Don't go anywhere. Stay there. Don't go anywhere. Stay there. That's Sherry. Okay, we'll be back. It's a Rick Emerson show. We'll get to the bottom of this.